I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of The Memo. It is Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016, and more importantly, National Signing Day. I'm Brad Locke, one of your hosts. With me today is Scott Morris, M. Scott Morris.
Morris. Don't forget that. It used to be M&M Scott Morris, but I shortened it.
Ah, I see there.
Okay. That was funnier about 10 years ago.
There you go. Oh, hey, it's Dennis Sid.
Hey, Dennis Sid.
Good morning. Doing? What are you doing in here?
Well, you know. I'm through eating donuts, so I decided to come in and visit y'all.
Oh, yeah. Brought donuts again. Killing me. Tell myself every day I wake up, I'm going to eat healthy today. Come in. Dennis brought
there's
donuts.
There's a donut.
Who said donuts aren't healthy?
They are made of...
There are eggs in healthy-ish. There. There are eggs flour. In there. Flour and eggs are in there.
Yeah.
You know, wheat, flour, eggs, wheat. So, you know, actually, we're getting dangerously close to a Bill Cosby joke. I don't think we're allowed to tell those anymore, are we?
Too soon.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, man.
So I shouldn't say pillowy soft morsels of goodness then.
Yummy. Yeah, Dennis is actually going to be, like, talking with us and stuff. He's not just hanging out.
I do talk.
He doesn't us that much.
Did you just hear that? You can tell that Brad has teenagers. Dennis is going to be, like, talking to us and stuff.
Yeah, man.
That's perfect. Like, yeah, man, that's perfect.
For sure.
Well, like, I think I can.
Yeah, man. So welcome in. Like I said, National Signing Day. And, of course, that means people are going to be following very closely, obsessively even, who signs where. Around here in particular, of course, the interest is Ole Miss and Mississippi State. The Rebels got a really, really nice class shaping up. MSU's class not rated as highly. Sorry, Dennis. But, hey, they got Kobe Jones from Starkville. He committed to State, defensive lineman. His teammate, A.J. Brown, committed to Ole Miss, wide receiver. That was kind of one of the big signees around here, people wondering. And it was down, I think, to Ole Miss and Alabama, actually. I know State was in the mix at one point, but couldn't get one out of their backyard. But those are just a couple of the big signees.
Got just a little bit wider perspective. You know, with all the things going on with Les Miles, is he going to be hired or fired? He right now has the number one recruiting class if all comes in. So he's holding strong at the moment. But then he's got to coach those players up, you know.
Yeah, and he's got to win with them. And that's the thing with Les Miles. He gets all this talent. And this is the criticism. He doesn't, get the most out of it. So if you've got the number one recruiting class and you're LSU, you probably should win a national championship pretty soon. That's going on all day today, and our guys Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry are on top of it. They'll have coverage at their respective blogs, inside OleMissSports.com and inside MSUSports.com. We'll have coverage all up in the Daily Journal tomorrow and at DJournal.com. And those two guys, Parrish and Logan, will certainly be talking about signing day tomorrow on a new episode of Double Coverage. You can listen to that on iTunes, your podcast app, or at DoubleCoverage.DJournal.com. So, football, Scott, it never ends.
You know, actually, it does.
we had
Super Bowl coming up, but we're going to talk to
we have the Super Bowl.
Young John Pitt's going to speak to us a little bit about the Super Bowl matchup later on.
Yeah.
Who is this young John Pitt?
I'm just trying to go on his good side. You ever been on his bad side? You don't want that.
I learned when I first got here, because I had to work on the desk next to him, to be sure I was on John's good side. And he does have a good side.
It's the right side. He's the left side, no. The right side, that's John's. That's John's strong suit.
Pun intended.
Yes, there you go. We also got Dennis here going to be with us to talk about Hancock Fabrics and bankruptcy. Fun times there.
Fun times.
Yeah, Jenna Parsons with food. And, so it's a good show.
So she's Super Bowl as well. Some Super Bowl snacks. Snackage going on.
Yeah, I got to get ready to pick out on Super Bowl Sunday.
Now, when we talk about Super Bowl, we have to talk about commercials, right?
I reckon.
But, I don't know. I like to watch the game.
Me too.
But those commercials are just so entertaining that what I usually do is watch the game, and that's usually a blowout, and then afterwards I go on YouTube and watch the best commercials.
Yeah, and nowadays sometimes they'll release those commercials ahead of the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, which is good, because usually during the game, I'm watching the game, commercials, I go get a snack, go to the bathroom, whatever. Now I'm like, There's absolutely no time I can go. Oh, except for the halftime show.
Oh, but then
because I don't watch the halftime show.
But then if you're at a party and all the women say, "Shut up, the commercial's on," and you have to watch.
Yeah.
Or is that sexist?
Favorite Super Bowl commercials.
Gosh, put me on the spot.
I've got one. The Volkswagen one years ago from the Darth Vader kid
who
started the car with his mind.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Bum 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 bum.
The Imperial March.
That's right.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Hey, folks are paying $5 million for a 30-second spot on the Super Bowl too. So
that's a lot of money.
That's a whole lot of money. They buy a lot of donuts.
It sure would.
And football players.
Speaking of recruiting.
Like, you know, taking players out of another school's backyard. I kid.
All opinions expressed by Dennis Sid are his alone and not that of the Daily Journal or the podcast.
His alone and of every other state fan.
My years of eligibility have expired, so I won't be signing today. Or ever.
Oh, well. Hey, Dennis, while we've got you in here.
Hey.
Let's talk about Hancock Fabrics.
Yeah.
They're bad news. They're filing for Chapter 11 again, second time in the last 9 years. So what's the deal?
Well, I think we mentioned this, and we had it in a story back in December, that they were struggling. They had cash flow problems. And then last week, there was a report that maybe two weeks ago that they were working on filing Chapter 11, and yesterday they officially filed for Chapter 11, which means they get a chance to reorganize and try to get back on their feet. But this is a company that's really struggled. I mean, they got out of bankruptcy, Chapter 11, in 2008, a year after filing, but they haven't made profit since fiscal year 2009. So that's just not sustainable. And so this is not good in that Hancock Fabrics, founded nearly 60 years ago here in Tupelo. They're going to initially close 70 stores, including here in Tupelo, where they got to start.
Yeah.
And then the remaining 190 stores or so, they could put up for sale. You know, they're saying all the things that, you know, we want to do what's best for shareholders, employees, customers, all that. You know, they were trading about a penny a share. Basically, when you file Chapter 11, your stock becomes worthless anyway.
Right.
And this is not, you know, I'm not trying to damn the company or its employees, but the fact of the matter is, when you file Chapter 11, especially twice in 7 years, it's not good. And right now they have to work through that and try to get some sort of money from the sale of the store, from closing the stores. They'll be selling all the fixtures and equipment, everything in there.
Well, what's the prevailing winds they're battling? Is it the fact that, like, people can get that at other places? You can get the fabric, or there's people don't have quite the craftiness they used to have?
I think it's a combination of all that. You know, they've been battling Joann Fabrics, Walmart, you know, the Michaels. Those are the competitors for Hancock Fabrics. And they've been trying to remodel their stores the last few years, but they haven't had enough capital. They're pouring so much cash into their pension plan and paying the debt they do have, so they can only do a handful of stores at a time. While remodeling of the stores is great, you know, you want to make the store
more comfortable,
look right, and you know, catch the trends that people are shopping. If you can only do a handful at a time, you fall further behind your competition, and that's where we're at this point. And you know, they just hired a new CFO who started earlier this month or last month, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, speaking of the future, Hancock again closing 70 stores, including the flagship Tupelo location, calling this a reorganization plan. I guess that sounds kind of like corporate speak, but
well, that's what Chapter 11 is. Yeah, they're trying to reorganize, get their stuff in shape.
But as far as the future, what does it look like? I mean, how grim is it?
I'm not a Hancock Fabrics shopper. It's not my demographic to shop in. I mean, to be honest, I don't know. I mean, I just know that based on the filings and what they reported, their financial situation is not good. You know, they're trying to, you know, work out a solution with their creditors and get some sort of financing. But again, they're having to pour cash into everything except their stores.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're just falling behind, and it's not a good situation. I'm sure a lot of folks are disappointed and upset. I've heard from a few former employees who, you know, they're worried about their pension, which their pension plan is underfunded by $48 million. We'll just have to see what happens.
And then you have just an emotional side of it. I remember going into Hancock Fabrics in Tupelo with my grandmother, and she made me a bunch of shorts, and she used the same pattern.
I still have those shorts.
You know what? I wore the heck out of those things. They were in my eras back in the late 80s, early 80s, late 80s, and everybody was wearing very colorful, bright shorts. I had some that old men would laugh at, and I loved that. People my age would look at me wearing those and say, "You're just an idiot." And I lapped that up. And my grandmother, Ma Marie, made those from Hancock fabric. That's a little double there, but yeah. So, but then I've never made shorts, so I would never have reason except maybe for like I needed to have a little bit of string for a or yarn for a project at school or something.
Well, I certainly hope, and I'm sure a lot of people hope that it can get back on its feet. But they have as the saying goes, a tough road to hoe. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Thank you, Dennis.
You're welcome.
Mentioned double coverage a while ago. Also, check out a new episode of Prep Rally, our high school sports podcast. That's going to drop sometime this afternoon. It's also a live webcast, which we do in the morning. So if you missed that, you can watch the replay at djournal.com. So we'll be discussing high school sports, a lot of basketball and soccer going on right now. So check that out on iTunes or your podcast app or at preprally.djournal.com. Super Bowl coming up this week. I think we mentioned that at the top of the show, and it's the Panthers, Broncos, Cam Newton, Peyton Manning. It's going to be a fun game. And we've got a special guest to talk about it, John L. Pitts, sports editor at the Journal. And Chris Kiefer is going to chat with him. So, Chris, over to you.
Okay, well, of course, eyes of the sports world will be on Super Bowl 50 this week. A lot of big sports fans and casual sports fans maybe who don't keep up with the NFL, all throughout the year will be watching from San Francisco, or is it Santa Clara, California, I guess, for the 50th Super Bowl. We've got Daily Journal sports editor John Pitts here to break down the matchup a little bit. John, good to have you back on the memo.
I'll break it up, break it down. I will not break dance, but other than that, we're all good.
Well, good. Then we're all good if we don't have to worry about that. Get that out of the way now. Tell us, I guess, just a little bit about this matchup. I guess it was the two teams that had home field advantage going into the playoffs, both made it to the Super Bowl. But kind of what are your thoughts about the Denver Broncos and Carolina Panthers?
Well, you've got great storylines there. I think that everybody knows at this point about everybody knows who Peyton Manning is. Even if you're just a casual sports fan, you know Peyton Manning. He's a Manning, for one thing. But he's one of the all-time legendary performers in the NFL, and he's in Denver now after a long career in Indianapolis. At one point, it looked like he was washed up due to injuries, and he had a bunch of surgeries, and now he is a different player. I liked somebody on the radio the other night said he's not the old Peyton Manning. He is an old Peyton Manning. Right. But he's still smart, and he's still crafty, and there is a he's got the kind of team around him that can win Super Bowls. I'm a big believer in defense at the championship level of any sport, and they have a tremendous defense and can run the ball a little bit. And so that's interesting, but there's no way to downplay how well the Carolina Panthers have played. Everybody knows about Cam Newton, the quarterback from Auburn, but that's an excellent roster that they have assembled, and they've been very clever in the moves they've made. They lost their best receiver before the season began and yet almost went undefeated in the regular season. And they're the overwhelming favorite, I think. Not the sentimental favorite, but an overwhelming favorite based on performances coming into this Super Bowl.
I'm like you. I know it's cliche, the whole defense wins championships, but it seems to seems to kind of carry out more and more. You know, talking on Peyton Manning, it's kind of interesting with the team around him. You talk about the changes. I mean, there were probably several years in Indianapolis when, because of his team, he fell short because they didn't have as good of a defense, they didn't have as much around him. And now it's almost the team that's carrying him into the championship. It's an interesting story with him, too, I guess. I mean, I obviously hadn't said anything. I don't know your feelings. I mean, my thoughts is this could be it. I mean, this could be his last game as he's kind of fading a little bit more. And then there's the HGH controversy that's come out. I don't really know how much people are putting weight into that. But just kind of talk about the Peyton Manning story going into this game.
I think this is the end of the line for him. I think he knows that. I think he would like to go out sort of like John Elway went out in Denver and win another ring. I mean, Peyton Manning only has one Super Bowl ring. His brother Eli has two. I think Peyton would be happy to get two and call it a day. I imagine the cumulative effect of the beatings that he has taken, and frankly, I don't think we know how hurt he has been. I suspect, but I do not know, that the feeling in his throwing hand is not quite what it was at one time. I've heard it said this past week that arm strength and making the throws is not the issue, but it looks like his timing is off. And you don't know if that's just a transient thing. You know, he actually was demoted to reserve at one point this year if he's just not entirely confident. But I suspect we'll see a little bit of the old Peyton Manning this time if he can work some magic. But again, Carolina has been very overwhelming, especially what they made Seattle look really bad in the game that they played. So, and that was a good Seattle team, probably better than Denver in a lot of ways. So the HGH thing, I never knew what to make of it. It was.
That, of course, I'll interrupt for people who don't follow every day. Human growth hormone, I guess a performance-enhancing drug that's been linked to his wife.
Right. Well, there was a report from Al Jazeera America about it that made a big splash, but, you know, the sourcing always seemed a bit suspect, and I don't know. I mean, if I'd been injured like him, I would have done whatever I could do to get back, and so, you know, we may never know entirely the truth about that, but I look at a guy that uses HGH, I think about Alex Rodriguez or somebody like that, Barry Bonds, and Peyton Manning doesn't look like that. So I have no idea what that was really about. I just think if he was a criminal genius mastermind in this thing, he would not have had it shipped to his home address, even in his wife's name. So I think it's a negligible story.
Talking about the Carolina Panthers more, and you kind of talked about how they've been built, and, you know, as a New Orleans Saints fan, I've kind of, you know, seen them come up through the years. And last year was a team that I think they ended up 7-9 and had to scramble at the end of the season to get to 7-9, win 4 or 5 in a row. And then I think they won their first playoff game, made it to the second round. So they kind of started to get hot in the second half. Right. And then
I think they started to figure out, what they were and who they were. And I think they got more comfortable letting Cam Newton be Cam Newton. I mean, anybody that remembers Auburn's national championship game knows what a force of nature he was at the college level. And I think they found a way to tap into that. And let him be the focal point and let him do that thing. And it is amazing. And inside the 20 yard line, the red zone, as they say, he's devastating. I mean, he can kill you with his legs, and he's become a very efficient thrower inside the red zone where it's more difficult to pass because the defenders are bunched up inside that box more. So he's had a wonderful season. It would be a stunning upset if they don't win, probably win by a couple of touchdowns. But you just never know. The first time there, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen exactly.
This is, of course, Super Bowl 50, and so whatever, you know, it's just a number, but 50 being 50, there's a lot of people that'll be looking back at the history of Super Bowl and how we got to this point. Tell me about some of your Super Bowl memories. What is the first Super Bowl that you remember, and kind of how much have you seen the game change in the years?
Joe Namath in the third Super Bowl is the first. You know, I didn't grow up as a big sports fan as a kid, but I, you know, he caught everybody's imagination. I was just getting into junior high, and we all understood that he was cool, and that the girls thought he was cool. So everybody kind of paid close attention to that, and of course, that was a stunning upset. Frankly, you know, a lot of these Super Bowls have sort of underachieved. I always think about standing and watching in my a house that I was visiting in Nashville when the kick sailed away for the Buffalo Bills and they lost to the Giants. And you know, I think the amazing catches that propel the Giants. I think it's interesting how the same organizations seem to rise and fall back into it. The Giants, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. I think those things are interesting. The back-to-back Super Bowls for John Elway with Denver when it looked like he was done. Those are all fun. Everybody loved the 1985 Chicago Bears. I still think it's a shame that that Walter Payton didn't get to score a touchdown in that game. Mm-hmm. I think that was.
But the fridge did.
Yeah, that was no good. That right. was no good, frankly. But those are some memories.
Sure, I grew up in the Joe Montana era, and even as the Saints being in the rival division, I was always a big Joe Montana fan, and used to love those NFL films that they show them on ESPN right. with Steve Sable. Right. I grew up kind of watching those.
And it's a serious investment in time now to try to watch all, you know, they'll run all 50 or all 49 Super Bowl yeah. hours. I mean, that's a major investment in time now.
Right, right.
That's much worse than even maybe watching all the Marvel Universe movies at this point.
Star
before.
Wars, right.
Yeah, so that's quite a bit. That's more than a marathon there.
A lot of people also watch for the commercials. Do you have a favorite Super Bowl commercial through the years?
The ones that make you weepy, but then by the next year you've forgotten what they were. I don't remember seeing the Apple commercial at the mm-hmm. time, but that's enduring, the 1984 commercial. It's just fun to see something that surprises you or is fun in some way and isn't excessively weird. The ones that tend to stick with me are the ones that were so weird that you don't remember what the product was. And yeah. that's a failure. In advertising, kids, that's a failure. If you spend a lot of money and nobody remembers what it was, it's a failure. And I'm afraid there have been a lot of those.
Yeah, I like the old Bud Bowl games when they'd have those oh, yeah. and see what happened. And the Terry Tate office linebacker,
right.
those were fun. And so well, Tabasco one where the mosquito explodes.
Oh yeah,
that was a good Louisiana commercial.
Funny is good. I mean, I think there've been some attempts to. Was it Nationwide Insurance last year, the year before, that did the kid that was dead? It was like a ghost
yeah,
kid was talking
yeah.
to you, and that was like okay,
weird.
Really, you all should have. Given that a little more thought, maybe that wasn't the best. I mean, I kind of understood what they were doing, but it was just a little wrongheaded and weird for that day, of the week or for that day of the year. But the commercials, sometimes the commercials are worth sitting and waiting on, and then when you go back to the game, that's when you go get some more dip or whatever, do whatever you need to do, smoke break. But It's like another Christmas. It's mm-hmm. like another 4th of July. It's sort of a secular holiday, and it's usually a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I'm almost always here at work,
no
and hardly ever get to sit and watch the thing. It probably the Eli Manning Tom Brady the last New England game is the last one I sat home and watched because I was sort of had an assignment for myself that night. So I sat at the kitchen table and watched it in the living room, our house in Corinth. But that's the last one of those. Mostly I'm just sitting here.
Yeah, that of course being one of the better games lately. And I remember like you said, kind of during the 80s, it seems like it would always be a blowout. The conference championship games would almost be better. I mean, we've had
right.
a few more good games lately, last year being one of them, coming
yeah.
down to the very
oh,
last
wow.
play.
Absolutely.
Kind of backing back up to this year's game, we talked about both teams, but kind of what do you see as the key for each, I guess, to be able to win the game?
Well, no terrible mistakes. I mean, I think when Manning was there last time and the snap went over mm-hmm. his head to start and it just got things off to a bad way. The first team to score, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it's sort of how each team takes a punch because each team's going to have to take a punch mm-hmm. at some point. And you just sort of see how they respond. Peyton Manning, it's probably got to be flawless and not make any mistakes, not throw the Manning pick six, the interception return for touchdown. They've got to be able to run the ball a little bit. And Denver's defense has got to hit Cam Newton. I mean, against New England, Denver's defense hit Tom Brady 23 times. But Cam Newton is built like the Incredible Hulk. So we're going to have to hit him and keep hitting him. And yet he's elusive for his size. So that's a challenge. Carolina just kind of needs to be loose, not get overwhelmed by the moment, and do the thing that they do. If they do the thing that they do, they should be fine. But if they get caught up in the moment, get caught up in the hype, come out tight, get themselves behind, then that could be a problem.
Yeah, sure. Picks, I guess, to kind of end it. I think Carolina is probably the stronger team. Sentimentally, I'll be cheering it as a New Orleanian. I'd love to see Peyton Manning go out with a title, and so that's where my heart will be. But I know it's going to be an uphill battle. I gather you kind of also see Carolina by a couple touchdowns.
Maybe I will say. I mean, you've got rooting interests here, and I do think based on what I see that folks in Northeast Mississippi, a certain number of them are backing the team with the Manning, and that's understandable. But I would point out Carolina's got some rooting interests for you as well. Michael Orr, celebrated from the blind side, he protects Cam Newton's blind side at left tackle. This is his first year in Carolina. A couple of journeyman defensive linemen, Kyle Love from Mississippi State and Mario Addison, who is the first athlete from Northeast Mississippi Community College to appear in a Super Bowl. They are defensive linemen. They've both had pretty good years. And I think their success in Carolina speaks to the smart general managing job that they've done there, roster assembly. These are guys that have played in other places and didn't necessarily stick. They found a home there. So if you sort of want that home state rooting interest, then Carolina's is a nice pick. The problem is a close matchup sometimes does not translate to a close final score because one team gets behind, takes a few risks, and all of a sudden you're down four touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But I do think, and there's another thing that occurs to me, you always have to be wary when in a semifinal one team really blows somebody out and looks really good, and the other team struggles and doesn't look so good. And that's exactly the situation here. Yeah. So what caution I might have about Carolina is that they look so good in winning the NFC Championship and Denver struggled, and you can't assume that will translate into the Super Bowl game. Close game after the half, and that could go either way.
Yeah, sure.
You know, if Denver can find some things they can do and have some confidence, then that makes them dangerous. Carolina will want to try to get up and stay up and not let them see any daylight to get back.
Yeah, sure. They've got such a high-powered offense, and again, we've mentioned some of the new Peyton Manning. I don't know how much they can keep up, so I think if they kept it a low-scoring game, it's probably what Denver would need to do.
I think they'd be happy if they had to run that kicker out five or six times like they do. They seem to have quite a bit of confidence in him, and except for a few people, nobody really wants to see a field goal contest. We want touchdowns and big plays and stuff, and so I just hope it's exciting in some fashion. A good game. We've had some good games, and it'd be nice to have another good one. If it's good, then they'll talk about the game. And if it's not good, they'll talk about other stuff. And I'd rather hear them talk about the game
than the left shark.
Right. Or what kind of pants Cam Newton's going to have on after the game, right, or whatever. So,
great. Thanks, John. Appreciate having you.
Enjoyed it.
Short films by local filmmakers will go head-to-head in the Daily Journal's first Entertain Us Movie Contest. The submissions are in, and now we need you to determine the winners. Voting will take place daily at djournal.com/entertainus. That's all one word, entertain us. There will be one head-to-head contest each weekday, and winners will advance in a bracket-style competition. Voting begins Monday, February 8th, and will last through March 6th. Watch the videos, choose your favorites, and be entertained.
Time now for our news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Tupelo Community Theater's executive director has won a prestigious award from the Mississippi Theater Association. Tom Booth received the Stephen Canetto Award. It's given to someone with a positive image, regional recognition, long tenure, and administrative service. Meanwhile, TCT's production of Private Wars won awards for Best Production and All-Star Cast. It now will compete at the Southeastern Theater Conference in North Carolina in March.
The Tupelo Aquatic Center has special times that are specifically dedicated to children aged 12 and younger. The pool is reserved for children on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and on Wednesdays from 4 to 5:30 p.m. Those special hours are from January 5th to May 19th and from September 6th to December 29th. It is part of the center's Splish Splash program. Although the time is open to any child, swim instructor Barbara Aguirre says it can be particularly helpful for homeschool students.
Special guest Morgan Freeman will speak to the Yawkney Area Council of the Boy Scouts of America on February 12th. Freeman was selected by the council to receive its 2016 Distinguished Citizen Award. Freeman will be honored during the Scouts' annual dinner at the Bancorp South Conference Center. The event only takes reservations with a $250 contribution to the Friends of Scouting campaign.
Itawami County officials will remove the Ten Commandments display hanging in the county courthouse. Officials said they were notified that the present display is a violation of a U.S. Supreme Court ruling. It will be replaced with the national motto, "In God We Trust." Last week, the county received a letter from Wisconsin-based nonprofit group Freedom From Religion Foundation threatening litigation if the display was not removed from the public courthouse.
And finally, a 17-year-old male is being charged with capital murder in connection with the shooting death in Corinth. Brooklyn Traylor is being charged in the death of 43-year-old Chris Ludlow. Corinth Police Chief Ralph Dance said Ludlow was shot several times while working as a clerk at the MAPCO station on U.S. Highway 72 East around 5:30 Monday morning. Traylor will be arraigned in city court today. Police say a second suspect is still at large.
I think before I come here and do this next time, I shall do a bunch of tongue twisters because I tripped over several of those sentences.
Yeah, you gotta do your vocal warm-ups.
Well, I heard you going, making those weird woo sounds, and I thought that you were just being crazy, but you were getting prepared.
Yeah, the arsonist had oddly shaped feet. Just go watch Anchorman. Pick up some tips.
I will do so for next time.
Need to remind y'all quickly about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. Online at thrive.ms.
Oh, we got Jenna Parsons in with us this morning here to talk about all kinds of things food-related since it's Wednesday when her food section comes out. Let's see, we got some Super Bowl snackage going on there. Are you going to cook these meals for the Super Bowl this Sunday? Are you going to have these?
Well, actually, I'm the reporter that's a backup for the Sunday reporter, so I don't know if I'll be at work Sunday or if I'll be watching the Super Bowl Sunday. But I imagine I'm going to have to do some cooking beforehand, whether I'm there or not.
You got any plans? What are you going to fix?
Well, I'd like to make both of these, the barbecue chicken cups and the mini turkey burgers. Mm-hmm. But if we were going to be a bit indulgent, I would probably also do some barbecue nachos. You know, you put the chips down and you either buy pulled pork or cook your own and then top it with a spicy cheese like a queso cheese or a Monterey Jack or Rotel and then jalapenos.
You know what I call that? I call that a hard Monday.
Super Bowl party at Jenna and Charlie's house, by the way. That's where I'll be.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, but so, you know, we got three cats, so if you're allergic to cats, you can't come.
Oh, yeah. Keefer, you're out.
I'm out.
Half the newsroom's out.
But a mini turkey burger, is that like a slider, basically?
It is. You just use the little slider buns, but these are different because they have gorgonzola cheese in them, which is a blue cheese, and that keeps the meat a little moist. Turkey meat can be dry.
You put them inside it?
You mix the gorgonzola with the meat and then cook them, put them on the bun.
So that's interesting because how often we'll add a little bit of olive oil whenever we do turkey, mm-hmm. when we do it on the grill because it'll help it stick together. But the gorgonzola cheese would be an interesting other way of doing that.
We add, sometimes we do, it's a chili sauce. It's a red chili sauce. It's sort of the consistency of preserves. Uh-huh. If you mix it in there, that gives it a little spice and a little tang, a little moisture. That's good,
too. A little
too.
Kick and a little moisture.
Oh,
there.
Yeah,
and then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I often do like olive oil even on my steaks to kind of give them a little bit to kind of add a little, keep the moisture in.
Sometimes we put a little pat of butter at the end.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. See? Yeah. And then you were working here on the charity ball menu. Are you a charity? You going to the charity ball?
I have been. We've probably been maybe every other year we go, but uh-huh. I think this is probably about the 13th or 14th year that I've done a story about the food. And when I first right. started, the JA members actually prepared the food. They did it all. There was no chef that was brought in. And they right. would have tastings at each other's homes to try different things, and I used to get invited to those. But for the last maybe 6, 7, 8 years, they've had a chef come in, and so the JA members still help, but they're more like sous chefs. They chop and grate and have everything going, but the chefs really have the command of the kitchen.
When the chef yells jump, they don't even ask how high. They just jump and hope they get it right.
They jump.
Yeah. And it looks like you got Barbecue by Jim and South providing some of the food there.
They decided to go with a theme of blues and jazz, and right. so they said it was a no-brainer to ask Nick Rice at South to do the menu. So he chose cheese grits and collard greens and candied yams, sweet potatoes, which he actually made for us to taste, and they were. Oh. He brought out a bowl, and he brought some plastic spoons, and we all had a taste, and then we just started digging into it, eating after each other. It didn't matter. Really good stuff.
It sounds tasty.
And then Jim's pork, as always, his smoked pork, as always.
Oh, man, he's done some of our events here at the Journal, and we've always enjoyed that.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, you sure you don't want to go Friday night? Because I can get you in for free. You just have to take a notebook and a pen with you.
Are you asking me to be your date?
No, I was going to stay at home, and I was going to let you go cover Citizen of the Outstanding Citizen announcement
works.
On Friday night. And then you could stay. You wouldn't be able to dance or eat, but you could, like, look at all the fine people in their well-dressed clothes.
Would I have to wear a tuxedo?
You know what? I think Charlie has a tuxedo that I have borrowed in the past. I wore that when they opened up the Ford Center over in Oxford.
Yeah, sadly, it's probably too small for me.
It's probably too small for me now. Hey, I noticed your Nettleton young lady. I was really impressed with her. She's got dreams. She's got goals. She's got plans. She's got cakes.
She's only 13. This is the girl you said that looks like me. Could be my daughter.
I think. Y'all look at her picture.
Dabbs.
Does she not look like Brad? Look at the eyes, the slant of the eyes, and the smile.
She's not quite as pretty as he is.
Maybe if she spiked her hair,
yeah,
she could.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, she's quite amazing. She started cooking with her grandmother, not cooking, making cakes and decorating cakes.
To be honest, I think that she does resemble some of Brad's children. He has some beautiful daughters.
Thank you.
Are you slighting the boy?
What? No, he's a good-looking kid, too.
Okay.
the kids are ugly handsome.
Right.
The boys
right.
aren't. And so she's got, she wants to meet the cake boss. Has she met the cake boss, or that's just her goal?
She has not, but she kept talking about him, and she didn't even blink when she said, I'd move to New Jersey in a heartbeat and work for him. And her folks didn't seem to think that was outrageous either, but I'm hoping, maybe, one day she'll get to take a trip and or maybe go and be on the set or something because he
and
is...
And realize she does not want to live in New Jersey?
Well, she wants to go to the Culinary Institute in New York in Hyde Park, so...
Well, I was very impressed with her dedication. And she does this kind of as a small business as far as doing it for birthdays and gender naming parties for children, for pregnant women, right?
Right, right. Yeah, she does small things, showers, although she did do a wedding cake for a babysitter. It wasn't the wedding cake. It was a wedding cake, the one that they cut to take pictures of and to save a little piece for anniversary. But she's definitely got some talent, although she told me that first cake that she made that we have a picture of in the paper, not on the front page of the food section, but inside, it has three little roses at the top, and she said it took her 3 hours to make those three little roses, and now, you know, she can do it in her sleep.
Yeah, so just kind of practice and learning and getting
practice.
The skills. Did you get to taste anything?
I did not. She had made that cake, and she offered us a piece, but we didn't.
You were too full and the stuff you ate for charity ball.
We didn't have any, but her dad was thanked to me several times for interviewing Mallory in the middle of the week because that meant he got to have coconut cake in the middle of the week. So.
That's wonderful. It's always fun to have, you know, this feature tinged toward older women who cook for their families. And right. So it's always fun. I'm sure you kind of enjoy the change a little bit. But to get a 13-year-old who's just passionate about food mm-hmm. and what she does, it had to have been fun for you.
I don't get kids very often. Maybe one every 2 years I'll get a 10, 11, 12-year-old. So they're few and far between. But at least they're out there and they're interested. So
if you know any kids out there who do more than scramble eggs, Jenna would love to hear from them.
I can't do scrambled eggs.
My son can do scrambled eggs. He's already ahead of the curve from where I was at that age.
Yeah, Charlie does the scrambled eggs in our house. Mine are just awful.
I do them at my house, and they're pretty good. I don't
maybe
mind
it's a guy thing.
It's maybe all that I can figure out.
That's about all I can figure out. I can do scrambled eggs and toast. That's about it.
I can do toast. I've done toast before.
Yeah. Although we do have a sign in our kitchen that says, the bread's ready when the smoke alarm goes off.
Yeah, but that's still toast.
Oh, yeah.
Burnt toast is toast. You know. Well, Jenna, thanks for coming in and talking about your all your offerings in today's paper. You can see them at Daily Journal or at djournal.com.
My pleasure.
Okay, another good show in the books.
Is this a time when we sing M.I.C.? See you real soon.
No, singing allowed on the show.
Okay, I'm sorry. Never mind.
Unless it's someone that
we bring in. I thought Derek did that every morning.
No.
Only when it's Brad's birthday.
Okay. Yeah.
It's the only time we sing.
Yeah, thanks. Just a reminder, y'all can follow the show on Twitter at DJournalMemo. You can send us an email, memo@journalinc.com, to send us your comments or questions. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Scott's on Twitter at M. Scott Morris. Chris is on Twitter at Chris Kiefer. Two Fs.
Okay.
Two E's, one I, one R. Okay. So that's it. Derek Russell, hopefully we'll be back tomorrow. We've got another show on Thursday. And again, remember, it's National Signing Day, so check out the covers that we'll have online and in the paper and on double coverage tomorrow, new episode dropping. So check that out. And until tomorrow, for Scott Morris, I'm Brad Locke. Have a good one.